conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 7378-0377-6. Before we get to this Aaron Rodgers stuff, let's get AMF in here. He wants to talk about our Texans. What's up, AMF?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Hey, so me and 11 of my cousins, we're heading to Vegas next weekend, and we're doing our fantasy football draft from one of the swim places. I don't know what it's called, but this is our third-year in Dynasty, so we're going to do it up there and whatnot. But my question is, I want to bet on their Strive for Five deal,
mm-hmm.
the Texans,
mm-hmm.
that John's been talking about. My question is, do you get paid at the end of the season, or right when they hit five?
No, at the end.
Like if it happened in the fifth week.
At the end. You don't get paid until the end of the season.
Okay. That's cool. All right. And the other thing is, I know you're up on Breaking Bad. If y'all see it tonight, talk about it tomorrow. I saw it. Just we'll go on that and just see what y'all thoughts on tomorrow.
Yeah, you talk about Better Call Saul.
Yeah. I haven't.
I finished it.
I'm midway through the last episode.
Did you?
How could you leave it instead of, Dustin said, how would you leave? How could you possibly leave the last? Because I'm a workaholic, Dustin. That's why. Okay. I had work to do.
I can't be
laying around watching TV shows all day.
Quiet quit.
Okay.
Did you see Walter White in the last episode?
I have not seen Walter White in the last episode.
If you're halfway through, you're almost to Walter White.
Okay.
You'll get a little flashback. I was a little disappointed initially that the only flashback we had was going to be that quick one, but we get a little bit more Walter White. I thought we'd have more of it.
We had Jesse outside talking to Kim Wexler.
Yeah, and now we'll get a Walter White. It was a little bit more of Walter. And
Jesse doesn't look like a high school kid, just out of high school anymore.
No, not really.
That was not really.
But everyone else that they brought back, you'll see a little flashback too.
Fring didn't look like he was pre Breaking Bad.
No, but it didn't look far off.
Yeah.
I mean, Giancarlo Esposito has been around. I remember the first time I saw him was in Do the Right Thing.
Do the Right
Spike
Thing.
Lee. Yeah, yeah. It was the very first time I remember seeing him. And he was on a lot of, I saw him on, was Do the Right Thing before or after School Days? Oh. I think School Days was before.
Forget about all that. What I have to watch is this Manti Te'o thing.
Oh, the doc?
Everybody says it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it just got released a couple days ago, right?
You haven't seen it either.
No, my son Alex told me to watch it.
Number one on the list. Holy crap.
Is it on ESPN?
It is so unbelievable that it's like crazy. You saw it? It's on Netflix? Have you seen it yet? No, you don't have TV, right? Do you have a TV?
I have Netflix.
Oh, you have Netflix?
Yeah.
Oh.
He doesn't watch like satellite stuff.
Oh.
Or cable. He is streaming.
You don't have cable.
He's a cord cutter. Guess what?
How do you watch ESPN?
You have apps.
Your app?
You have ESPN app on streaming too.
How do you watch golf on Saturday and Sunday?
Watch what?
Golf.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh?
Yeah, on CBS. How do you watch CBS golf?
Is that a new thing?
No, it's been around for I don't know if you heard. Golf is the oldest sport in the world. Okay? I'm not sure you heard.
So, does he also doesn't watch Hamiltonian races, too? Like on the carts, you know?
What?
Ouch! Do you watch other old sports like boxing or horse racing?
Yeah, I mean, my grandfather, living close to the Santa Anita racetrack. Yeah, like,
golf. Horse racing. Yes, thank you. Thank you, RJ.
He doesn't watch golf.
Yeah, he watches golf.
So it's Netflix documentary. What's it called?
It's Manti Te'o. That's all you have to put in. Everybody says it's crazy how unbelievable it is. And
Untold.
That's it?
How the team behind Netflix's Untold reframed the Manti Te'o girlfriend hoax. I'll definitely be on. I'll be on that one. That was pretty crazy. That's a crazy
story. Crazy story.
He got legitimately catfished.
Yeah, I mean he's out of the league. He's out of sight, out of mind.
Well, he must have taken part in the stock.
Well, he has. Yeah. He did, and so did Lene Kukua.
Yeah,
Kukua. Yeah. She did too. I don't know. I think it's a. I'm not sure. they took part in it because
Renaya Tuiasosopo, the woman behind the hoax caught in the middle, is transgender now.
She's transgender. They're transgender.
Teo Tuiasosopo and the elaborate 2013 hoax.
You said she. You can't say that.
No, I'm reading the article.
I know, but you're supposed to say they.
Well, then that's their problem. That's their problem. There, as in CNN. Hoax are the subject of a new two-part documentary, Untold, The Girlfriend Who Didn't
Exist.
It's
Lene Kukua, right? Isn't that her name?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Right. Anyway, so I got to see it. And people are raving about it.
He created the fictional girlfriend as a way to come to terms with his own... Tuiasosopo, who created the fictional girlfriend as a way to come to terms with his own gender dysphoria, is less so. Tuiasosopo has since come out as a transgender woman.
So, and Benton was on Dr. Phil as well, right? I think. I'm pretty sure.
I guess so.
Well, and
I'll check that out.
Jose wants to talk about the doc. What do you say, Jose?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How's it going?
Hey, I just want to say I thought about you guys in the first episode because they did some throwback Notre Dame footage. And it sounded like when Lance be doing the voice, like, oh, this is Pepper Jack Hamilton with the 30th FB dive in a row. So, yeah, they had some throwback footage. And
other news. Yeah.
Power dive to the right as Notre Dame scores for the first time in three games, and yet they've got two victories in the previous games after winning with safeties. Notre Dame football back on top. Here's the four horsemen of the apocalypse. You say three, I say four.
It is the four horsemen.
There's Walt Dennehy, Daniel Grigsby.
What's his name? The running back, the guy who got, you know.
The guy who got what?
No, he wasn't Notre Dame. Paul Hornig wasn't Notre Dame.
No, yes, he was. Paul Hornig was Notre Dame. Oh, yeah, but that was well after the four horsemen.
Paul Hornig was
of Notre Dame. Yeah, but he was a Heisman Trophy winner. They won five games that year, I think, or whatever, two games that year.
Well, Walter Dennehy sounds like a guy.
Well, he does, but that's well before Paul Hornig.
A team full of Irishmen in the backfield. Notre Dame, the way things ought to be. Irish Catholic across the up and down the roster. A bunch of Irish Catholics.
And there's Canute.
One thing that Notre Dame hasn't seen this year: a black football player. Because right now, when I'm doing this voice, there are no black football players. Hey, looks like the NFL's got a player named Marion Motley. Where'd he come from? Never heard of him. Never saw him playing. Oh, he's not allowed to play anywhere in Division I football?
No. Not in Division I, he wasn't. Speaking of not a lot, Aaron Rodgers destroyed his wide receivers.
Mm.
My goodness. Not only that, the young guys, especially...
He didn't mess around. Now, Aaron Rodgers will tell you what he's thinking.
The young guys, especially young receivers, we got to be way more consistent. A lot of drops, a lot of bad route decisions, running the wrong route. We got to get better in that area. It's coming up, okay? It's coming up. It really is. We're going to play our best guys when the season starts. And whoever those guys are going to get the reps. It's the guys I trust the most and the guys the coaches trust the most. A lot of it is just the simple responsibility in the offense, way before body positioning and movement and throw and all that stuff. Are you in the right spot at the right time? Are you running the right route? He blamed one of Jordan Love's second interception that he threw.
He blamed two of them. One of them,
he said it should have been a touchdown.
Yeah, here it is. He had three turnovers, right?
Right.
And here's the quote. I felt really bad for Jordan the other night because, you know, we have a couple of total mental busts for picks. We had a drop for a pick. Two guys running who knows what on the third one. He shouldn't have thrown the ball there probably, but some of that is veteran stuff making veteran mistakes. Rodgers said mental mistakes have become a concerning trend during training camp. Like I said, drop pick, not a great route, not a great finish by Romeo. The one that becomes a bogus pick, and then a bad decision but terrible route inside, Aaron Rodgers said. Against a too high safety look, Amari Rodgers should have straightened his route vertically to threaten the weak spot. Instead, the cornerback walled off in his in-break and picked off Love's throw. We should have been smoking down the seam and had a chance at a touchdown. Instead, we're in a tight spot with the pocket collapsing, throwing a contested ball to a guy running the wrong route. That's him lighting up Amari Rodgers, who's a second-year wide receiver. He lit up Romeo Doubs, who is the more polished of the wide receivers that were drafted between him and Christian Watson. I'm telling you, and Roger said, might look bad on the stat sheet with three picks, but the film tells a different story. Aaron's got Jordan Love's back because he's not putting up with these wide receivers. He's trying to set and see, I know a lot of people, because of the vaccination stuff, don't like Aaron Rodgers.
Whatever.
Or because he's a D-bag, because he does Whatever. Have some of that. But you know what I appreciate about Aaron? Aaron is a feisty guy who some teammates just don't like and some do. But I've been told he's a guy who it doesn't always get along with everyone. But one thing that he's going to do is he's going to hold his teammates accountable, especially wide receivers. And he doesn't have a Devontae Adams anymore.
You know, listen, you go from Devontae Adams to Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs. And, I mean, honestly, listen, okay, rank the Packers wide receivers versus the rest of the league.
Alan Lazard is one.
Yeah. Alan Lazard is his one. Amari Rodgers is his two.
No, I think they've got let me pull up his – because I think there's some – I think they added another veteran. Sammy Watkins in there. Yeah, it is Sammy Watkins.
Oh, great.
Sammy Watkins
How old is
could be
Sammy Watkins?
I know. He could be a – how old do you think he is?
Probably 31.
29.
29?
Not as old as you thought. Sammy Watkins, Alan Lazard, and Randall Cobb are his top three.
Honestly,
a guy who can't get separation, a guy who's plays older than 29, and Randall Cobb, who is clearly
Randall Cobb.
Yeah, I mean it's.
I mean, so where do the? I mean, we're just assuming that the Packers are obviously they're the favorites in the NFC to make the playoffs.
Best friend? Who's Aaron's best friend on the team? Do you know? Well, I don't know if it's his best friend, but who's he close with? A wide receiver.
Lazard?
No, oh, he's so close that he brought Randall Cobb back.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron's the reason that he forced him to bring Randall Cobb back. And now
that's a Michael Jordan thing.
But he's blasting.
Don't let him pick his
players.
But
you know what's interesting? He's blasting Amari Rodgers, who's the guy fighting for those same reps. He's blasting the backup guy.
Well, good luck, because Randall Cobb will be around for 3 weeks and then be hurt.
It's almost like he wants to make sure that these young guys don't get on the field a whole lot because he doesn't trust them. And but it is important that if guys aren't running the right routes, that you set them straight.
He is going to suffer without Devontae Adams.
I think so too. He is deep down. I did those fantasy drafts. Basically, like you can go to I think it's Draft Calculator. Or you can go to ADP drafts, right? Average draft position, and you can go practice fantasy football drafts, snake drafts. You can go get in those that don't mean anything. You don't have an actual team. And just get a feel for how a draft may go. Aaron Rodgers is going late. Like, people are not buying Aaron Rodgers. And the reason is simple. He doesn't have Devontae Adams. And you know what? I still think he's going to get over 30 touchdowns. I mean, I still think he's probably going to be between 30, probably 33 and 35. But I'm not exactly sure
he's
where he's
going to be frustrated this year. He is
so
going to be frustrated this year.
That's why the odds of I wouldn't completely rule out the Green Bay Packers being a wild card team and not a division winner. Now, to find the division winner, you got to trust Kirk Cousins to win a division and that defense.
Well, because the other ones are Detroit and Chicago.
Yeah, and you can't.
That's probably why the Packers are so heavily favored. That division blows.
It really does.
814 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Time to talk about Lafayette, Louisiana. That's right, Dustin. Oh, how much does John love Lafayette, Louisiana? Hey, John loves Lafayette, Louisiana. I've been loving Lafayette, Louisiana since the time I got there. I couldn't understand when I first got there. There are some, you know, there are some language problems that you have translating some of the Cajun people to, you know, like English. But that, you know what? I don't care. As long as you cook like you cook, I don't care one bit. And they cook unbelievable. When you go to eatlafayette.com and you see the restaurants and you see the food, you're like, wow, this is not stuff that you find everywhere. You can't find this stuff. It's authentic Cajun and Creole cooking that you just don't get elsewhere. We got Cajun restaurants here, watered down in a lot of, but this is restaurant after restaurant after restaurant, and have that wonderful Cajun flavor. And if you're looking for that, you like a little getaway, you want to have some fun, you got some nightlife, you got stuff for the kids, you got day trips, you got all kinds of great stuff. EatLafayette.com. You're looking for a great way to have a nice little getaway that's inexpensive. EatLafayette.com.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
I feel like you need to have Craig Mack playing, though, and not just the instrumental. I feel like we need to have the gruff, gravelly, coffee-ground voice of Craig Mack, but that's okay. I have not heard this one in a long time.
Somebody said, we got a tweet. Manti Te'o is winning now. Have you seen his wife? Congratulations to Manti Te'o. Better pull. I mean, NFL player. Well done, sir. Yeah. Nicely done. Better pull. Let's get Kirby in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What up, Kirby?
Well, good morning. How we doing?
Good, Kirby.
Hey, you guys were talking about the Texas Radio Hall of Fame the other day.
Yeah.
Weren't y'all?
Yeah, we weren't. But, I mean, just...
Did you guys mention the stalwarts of, like, I didn't hear anything about Martini and Edmonds or who's the other guy, Lance? Didn't he used to work for Ed Fowler?
Well, he was there when I was at KSCV. I would just answer phones for Barry Warner.
Ed was not a long time radio guy though. No, Martini and Edmonds. Was, yeah. Martini and Edmonds should be in.
Well, you guys.
Who would have ever thought though that when it was all said and done that you guys would be on the top of the mountain? Not, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, nothing says y'all top of the mountain like us.
Y'all are sitting on top of the Houston sports radio mountain.
Yeah.
I mean, when you wake up in the morning, do you say to yourself,
Rich Lord in the radio Texas Light Radio Hall of Fame?
He is.
Yeah. Rich Lord is in the Texas Hall of Fame.
He should be. Rich Lord was 30-some years in the radio business.
How's the Lord doing?
I don't know.
I don't know how he's doing.
Charlie Polillo's not in.
Charlie Polillo ought to be in.
Now, that's a shame.
Yeah, Charlie should be.
What do you think Polillo would be saying about Martin Maldonado right now?
Look,
Martin is a...
No, you do it. You go.
No, you do it.
I think you'd say this.
He is an abomination at the plate.
As much as I can appreciate defensive catchers as much as anyone, it's something that I feel like too often gets overlooked in the grand scheme of baseball. But look. He can't hit. He's not a guy that's going to hit the baseball. And that's something that is a requirement in 2022 Major League Baseball. And so, look, while I love the defensive aspects of his game, quite frankly, the decision to bring in Christian Vasquez was, once again, understated yet necessary from James Click. And that's just something that the Astros and the Astros fans are going to have to deal with. Machete is no machete at the plate. There's
Charlie.
What's yours, Kirby? And that's with love. I do that with love. What would Milo say about Machete?
Well, he'd say, first of all, Martin, you gotta get in there. You got to dig your heels in, Pally. Maybe go to concession stand before the game, get a couple of nachos.
Martin Maldonado.
Now, what would Spanish Milo say?
Otra vez con la pelota pasado. ¿Qué pasó, Martin?
Spanish.
Johnny, question for you.
Yeah.
Is Lafayette your new trailer wheel and frame?
No. No, I would.
To me that,
I would never make fun of Lafayette like I make fun of trailer wheel and frame.
People will hurt you.
No. Love Lafayette. I love trailer wheel and frame too, though. I love.
They got all this crap. Who the hell needs Richie Rails?
All this crap. They're probably all way drunk. They've got to be drunk to work at trailer wheel and frame. They're drunk by 10 a.m. When I went there to visit, they pulled out a beer from under the counter. Here, John, yep, you got to be drunk to work here. So they liked it. We had fun with them. Lafayette, no, that's different. Lafayette's different. All right, Kirby. I thought he said we were something not sitting, but close to sitting on top of the mountain. I thought he dropped an SH bomb on us.
No, he didn't. Yeah. And my Charlie was not. I'm not making fun of Charlie. I'm trying to do a legitimate Charlie.
That's a legit Charlie.
That was a legit. And look.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, he'll say and he'll go, "You've got to hit the ball, Charlie." And he keeps it real steady right here. I did a show with Charlie for a year at 790. And I would try to get Charlie to open up a little bit. Like we did I did something called Getting to Know Palillo. I even had them make a jingle, Getting to Know Palillo. And I'd ask them things. Are you afraid of snakes? What about, have you ever been afraid of a clown? Have you ever stabbed a man? I'd ask him a series of questions and Charlie would get. It would take about five questions. Every once in a while, he'd answer something and be like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, I'll give you this as an example. Charlie and I drove up to New Orleans for the Super Bowl, 2013 Super Bowl in New Orleans. Right? Yeah, it was 13. Me and Charlie.
Who was playing?
Oh, my God. Who was playing in the 13th Super Bowl? Were the Saints? No, it wasn't the Saints. No. Who played in the 13th Super Bowl? New York was
that
it had to be the Patriots and somebody.
And Giants? Was that a...
No, because we were in Las Vegas, Patriots and Giants.
Well, that first one, the second one.
Broncos. No, Broncos Seahawks was in 2014. 13th season, but 2014, I was in New York for that one. This is 2012 season, with 2013 was the Super Bowl. It would have been, I'm sure, Patriots and somebody. Because the Broncos won the Super Bowl in 15. Who was it in 13, RJ? See, you got me all...
2012 Super Bowl. That's right. Whatever.
Anyway.
What? So, tell them. Giants-Pats.
So, they played twice.
The second one that they caught... Mario Manningham caught the pass along the sideline. That was the second one.
Yeah. Okay. So, me and Charlie drive up there. He gets pulled over by a cop and given a ticket. He's not happy. Not happy at all. I got to see what it looked like when Charlie was not happy with a police officer giving him a ticket. Then on the drive back, I was driving. So he drove up there. I drove back. Did I end up leaving my telephone on top of a gas pump? Yes. Did I lose it forever? Yes. Those things are going to happen for me. But anyway.
Why would you place your phone on top of the...
I'm pumping something, and then I just forgot to get it. This is just a long line of mistakes that I've made. The one day I'll go into with leaving stuff.
Poor
So as I'm driving back, this is when I learned something about Palillo. I'm driving back and I'm like, you know, Charlie, you let me know musically what you want to, you know, listen to. I'm just turning. I'm turning the channel and, you know, like what? And then all of a sudden Umbrella comes on. I think it's Umbrella with Rihanna. He goes, yeah, this will do right here. Let's stay with Rihanna. And then I noticed that Charlie liked the R&B. Charlie liked the good-looking girl. Mostly it's good-looking girls singing R&B anyway.
Right.
But I was like, okay, Charlie. Charlie's got some musical. See, Charlie's got more, also knows more, has more pop culture references than you would think. He also would go play, and may still do it, softball with listeners. The one guy that I thought would never want to be around any listeners ever, unless he had to, would be Charlie. And yet Charlie would actively court listeners he had a group that would go play softball at a park every weekend. Charlie would go play softball.
Was
listeners.
It the Blackout Niners and Ravens game?
That's what it was.
That's what it was.
It was the Blackout Ravens Niners game. Yeah. What it was.
Right. Because that's what everybody's saying. So you learned the child. No, we had, Charlie's tastes actually were a little surprising. Yes, Charlie is a pop culture. He knew a lot of pop culture, a lot of pop culture.
He did.
So what did?
How
what
do you
was,
know?
What
did
question?
You spend any time with Charlie?
I talked to Charlie before. And
he probably hated talking
Ken
to
Hoffman
you. You're the type of person I would assume Charlie would hate. Like of all the people, the vulgarities.
Yes.
And strike me as the guy that Charlie would want to talk to.
To Ken Hoffman. One time, Charlie was in the afternoon, and I had said something about Charlie, and then Charlie came back, and Ken Hoffman told him, dude, do not do not go at it with Granato, okay? Because you'll say, oh, Granato, you said something about a batting average that was incorrect, and he'll come after your mom. Yeah. So you don't.
You'll try to use logic,
yes.
And he's going full emotion.
Right,
on
right,
you,
right, right.
And it's going to be fueled by hops and barley.
Right, right. So that's not that's not Charlie. You do not want to get into that. Do not do that.
No, you and Charlie's arguments are on two way different levels.
Yeah. I don't know what Milo did during sex, Tim. Do you think I don't know. I don't know if he did that.
Stop that. Show that man some respect.
Yeah. Milo, rest in peace. Please rest in peace. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, let's talk a little tequila.
Well, I already talked about tequila.
Well, then that's different. Why don't we talk about Coors Light then?
Yeah.
That's what we should talk about.
That's what you should talk about.
Well, we talked about tequila. Now it's time to talk about Coors Light. Do you think that I had any Coors Lights yesterday? Do you think that's the case? A is the answer, yes. The answer is A, yes. Yes, Coors Lights were flowing yesterday, and they were just so wonderful. I had a great day yesterday. All right? Played a little golf, drank some beers, went out to the Cougs practice, and then afterwards we went out for a few beers. It was just so good. Just a great day. I'm telling you, if you're looking for a great way to take Texas chill, I was drinking water on the front nine and then said, nah, this ain't going to do. I was just, let's get to the backside. And guess what? Played better on the backside with some cold, clean, crisp, refreshing Coors Lights. I don't know. Do you perform better with Coors Light? I know I do. I love me some Coors Light, and it's just more enjoyable. Even if I had a shot worse on the backside, you know what? It would have been better because I had Coors Light. You're looking for cold, clean, crisp, refreshing, the world's most refreshing beer. It's Coors Light. Make it your beer. Keep Texas chill with Coors Light.
This is Jose Altuve, and you're listening to Jung and Lance on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by Golf Course Chevrolet, Buick, and GMC.
Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hi, welcome back. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I went out to Cougs practice last night. They scrimmaged, did their first two-minute drills of the year. The defense is, I want to say this, I didn't realize this. They had 45 sacks last year.
That's a lot in college football.
Yeah. They got three, and they got Parrish coming back, who is a beast. But they got another kid on the outside, number 44. He can go. He's gonna get to the, as a matter of fact, DeAnthony Jones. He led the league in sacks last year with 7 and forced fumbles with 4. Last year, and he only played in 40% of their snaps. So
how many did he end up with?
He ended with 7 sacks and 4 forced fumbles.
So he's a strip sack.
Tackles
guy.
For loss. This
high forced fumbles this are often strip sack guys.
Doug Belk's defense is a swarm, is an attack defense. Now, you know, they lose Pepe and they lose Marcus Jones on the corners. But the other guys were on the field plenty. The other guys and their safeties are good. This defense is—it's so funny. There was a big ESPN article. Did you see the Dana article yesterday on ESPN? Mm-mm. They did a long form deal on Dana.
Really?
It was a really good piece. You know, it's in there. It was on their front page yesterday. It's in their. It'll be in their college football.
I did not see that
page yesterday.
Oh, the college football page.
It was a really good. No, well, it was on their front page yesterday. That probably moved down to college football page today. But it's a nice long form deal on him. He is not. I mean, he is so not air raid. You would never know he came from the Mike Leach school.
But he used to be hardcore in it.
Yes, but he totally flipped that.
What was it that caused him to flip?
I know he's addressed it before.
I think one of our shows. Wanting to win, you know, playing.
He just stopped believing in it.
Yeah. He just doesn't. Yeah. He just said, you know what? You're not going to win if you don't play any defense and you don't run the football, because you could throw it all over the field all day long, throwing it all over the place. Well, first of all, you got to have that guy that can throw it all over the field. I mean, he was doing a lot of that same stuff with Case here when he was the offensive coordinator, doing a lot of that same stuff with Brandon Whedon. But then he got, who was the Howard kid that at West Virginia? And that, remember the shorter quarterback that he had? Not Jamie Howard. It was, I forget his name, but it was before Will Greer. Anyway, I think he figured out, man, we bet. Oh, and by the way, I got Wendell Smallwood. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to run the football. Smallwood had 15. I saw Smallwood. He was out there.
Yeah, no, he got kicked out of the air. He got kicked out of team air raid.
Yeah, yeah. And because he's running the ball and he's playing defense. Listen, Doug Belk, I bet you yesterday, he got offered $2 million to go to Miami, the University of Miami. And he said, no, I'm going to stay here. Doug Belk will probably get a head coaching job from here as being the defensive coordinator from here. Their defense is going to be.
Skylar Howard.
Skylar Howard
is the little guy. He had Clint Trickett too.
Yeah,
and they threw it around with Clint Trickett.
Yeah, Skylar Howard. That's 2013, though. I mean, Skylar Howard threw. I remember him throwing up a lot of.
He was 2014. When did Dana take over there? Actually, maybe he didn't.
Dana was there for 10 years. I forget what year he got there. Yeah, no, he's there for eight. He was there for 8 years, I believe. He's been a head coach now 12. This is his 12th year as head
2014
coach.
Through 16 was Skylar Howard.
14 through 16, that's when they had Wendell Smallwood, too. And
Smallwood would have been...
He was 15.
He came out in like 18. He would have been like a freshman.
He ran for 1,515
yeah.
in 2015.
He could catch it, too.
Yeah, but, you know...
He's 28 now. What's he doing?
He was with the Eagles, right? I don't know.
I thought he was overdrafted a little bit, but
well, he contributed to the Eagles a little.
Yeah,
bit.
He was. You know, he had one year where he was pretty good, but he was. I mean, he's one of the guys that I wrote up, but he was drafted. No, he was drafted in the fifth round in 2016. That's not too early.
No,
that's where he should have been drafted.
Yeah. Anyway, so I just
think college. Yeah, 15 in 2015, he had 1,500 yards rushing and 160 receiving. But he had good average 6.5 there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, he could run the football.
So Dana had an entire article, huh?
No. I don't know if that was the year that turned it around, but when you got Skylar Howard as your quarterback, you're not going to do the same things that you're doing with Case Keenum and Brandon Whedon. That's for sure. So he had to adjust. And, you know, the article talked about, you know, coming here out of a Power 5 school, coming to a group of 5 school. What the hell are you? Everybody's saying, what the hell are you doing? He's the first one, other than Tommy Tuberville. Tommy Tuberville, remember, went from Texas Tech to Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it was of his own volition. Dana just said, screw it, I want to get back to Houston. I want to be in Houston, and I think we can make something huge here. And sure enough, it took him a little while. He did it his way his first year. He redshirted De'Ara King, which a lot of people thought was crazy. They ended up going 4-8. And Pez, the athletic director, said, you know, what the – you know, a lot of people were like, what the hell are you doing? And he said, you know what, Dana, is this what you think you have to do? Then go get it. And he went and did it. And sure enough, in 2 years, he turned the whole damn thing around to last year. And this year, I'm telling you, with their schedule and this defense and number three, as long as number three is on the field, this is going to be a really, really good football team. If he's not, if for any reason Clayton Toon isn't on the field, they're going to struggle.
So he's not deep at quarterback.
He's not deep at all.
Why not?
I don't know. Because Clayton Toon has had 7 years here.
Yeah, I know, but that's plenty of years to recruit behind him.
Yeah. I don't know what the deal is. But last night, of course, listen, and he said it. He said, we're 15 days into camp. The defense knows every single thing we're doing. The defense knows our calls. Mm-hmm. The defense knows our alignments and what play we're running because they've been watching. They've been up against us for 15 days. So the defense, if the defense isn't ahead of the offense right now, we're in big trouble.
Yeah, going to be really big trouble if the defense isn't ahead of the offense. But the offense is what Clayton Toon needs a big year this year.
Yeah.
And I think based on the way he played last year, especially the second half of the season, I would say there's a good chance Clayton Toon is ready to have – honestly, I'm going to start
my NFL draft stuff early. I've got to start getting on some of these, you know, on some of these quarterbacks and just taking a look at some of their throws they had last year. I know Clayton Tune's on my list.
Yeah.
You know, he's on my list.
He's got a chance.
He's got size.
He's got a chance to be this year's Kenny Pickett.
That's a big step, but I wouldn't totally discount that because Tune's got some of the physical tools. Listen, Kenny Pickett had 13 touchdowns and 9 interceptions the year before. Who saw Kenny Pickett being Kenny Pickett?
Joe Burrow.
Joe Burrow was, well, you know.
Joe Burrow's a little different. But
Joe didn't show any of those signs that he would be this. That's Joe Burrow's jump. I've said this before. As a sports talk host and sports fan my entire life, I could not come up with a single. The closest I could come, and it's shorter term, was Linsanity, where a guy went from one thing one year to another thing the next. That jump to the greatest season in college football history for Joe Burrow as a quarterback, from where he was, I could not find in sports history a jump like that, where anyone has gone from one type of player to another type of player in one year. Tell me somebody else who jumped like that. Joe Burrow had, what, 60 touchdowns, won the Heisman, was the first pick of the draft. None of that stuff was possible the year before.
No.
None of it.
And, oh, by the way, he sustained it. Went to the Super Bowl in his second year.
Sustained. It's not, you know, Linsanity was cool for a month.
They're talking about giving Joe Burrow an extension right now. And he's like, you know, whatever. I'm going to be rich. But I think Joe might even give them a little break so that they can actually build a football team around him.
Well, you got to give them more cash and the signing bonus, and you can drop the. I mean, that's the thing that everyone's doing now. Give me more up front, and we can keep my salary, you know, my base salary down at $6 million.
Yeah. Well, not everybody saw it, but I kind of saw it. Joe Burrow, I told you guys before the season he'd be in New York for the Heisman.
It was a joke the way you were saying this stuff. You even knew it was a joke.
I knew. No, it wasn't a joke.
There's nothing you could have said before, saw the year before.
Absolutely.
Watch all those throws, they were terrible. At times. He was awful at times.
He was in a New Year's Day bowl. What are you talking about?
Not because of Joe Burrow.
Yes, it was.
Just because you played
in a
game.
I mean, you continue to downplay Joe Burrow.
No, here.
And my love for Joe Burrow.
No, I don't downplay
the year
your
before.
Love. I don't downplay your
love. The year before,
love.
I told you how good Joe Burrow was going to be.
No, and we would laugh here because you and leaned into
you,
it like it was a joke. Here's the year before.
I told you he'd be in New York for the Heisman.
57% of his passes, had 16 touchdowns and 5 interceptions.
Okay.
In 13 games. The next year, he had 15 games. He completed 20% higher on his completion percentage.
Well, he had a different. He had Joe Brady then. He had the year before. He
still
didn't.
Had Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. He still had both of those guys. The next year, he went from 15 touchdowns or 16 touchdowns to 60.
Well, but
he had 44
because
more
he got
touchdowns.
Out of the less offensive, pitch the ball, run up the middle.
He had 44. No, he had Ensminger calling the plays. It wasn't less. He had the same guy who was on the staff.
Okay, they pitched the ball and ran up the middle. I want that team.
The offense was, well,
terrible.
Here's the thing.
Less choked the offense and less took the reins off.
Didn't make throws. With good timing. Joe doesn't have the arm to make certain throws.
Oh, no.
What Joe Brady did was say, okay, we're not going to make that a staple. We don't want you to make those tight window, deep out throws. We're going to let you be, we're going to take your mentality, and we're going to have routes where you get to read the safety. Is the safety bite on corner, or does the safety back out and play the deep? And Joe is elite at reading. If you give him a single read, like a corner, or he recognizes what he did the next year was, the difference was physically the first offense in 2018 asked him to use physical attributes. He didn't have great physical attributes. 2019 asked him to use mental, slaughtered him. That dude is a super smart quarterback.
Okay, first of all, Joe Burrow is a great athlete. He was the athlete of the year. He played
his physical.
He was a all-state basketball player as well.
That's great. I'm not asking him to shoot threes or dunk. As a quarterback who is a thrower, he does not have.
And he was a runner, too.
He has an average arm.
He was a runner, too.
He's not even going to be much of a. I mean, yeah, he ran okay when he needed to.
No, he ran great. What are you talking about? Joe Burrow was a great runner in his senior year of college.
He averaged 3.3 yards a carry.
Because of sacks. How many yards did he rush?
384 yards on 116 carries. The year before was 399 on 128. He averaged 3.2 yards a carry in college. And no, sacks don't count into that.
Yes, they do. In college, they do. Yes,
it does for team, right?
No, and for player.
You sure?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. You might
be right on colleges.
But Joe Burrow is not does not have a big arm. Joe Burrow has a below average arm strength. That's my whole point. They ask him to make throws that he shouldn't have been making. I looked at he still completed it less than 50%, even with Joe Brady. There's certain throws that he doesn't make well. But Joe Brady said, well, then let's not do that. And you know what Joe Burrow does? Yeah, I ain't going to spend my time throwing throws that are stupid. That's why Joe Burrow, I bought all the way in when watching him, because I had to really keep an open mind because I saw the guy the year before, and I wrote him up in the summer. I'm like 6th, 7th at best. The year after, I've never seen anything like it.
Well, that's the difference between me and you. I had him going to New York for the Heisman.
But you had him 6th or 7th. You also have everyone with 50 touchdowns. You had Deshaun Watson 50 touchdowns.
Guess what? I was right. 847. I should write for NFL.com.
You should.
847 ESPN.
Put that work in.
I ain't putting that work in. It's time to talk about Doc Linville. He puts the work in, and your hair looks great. It's because of Doc Linville. That's what I'm talking about. Look, if you're looking for the best way to get hair, all I know is this. You need Doc Linville. It is such a great, great, great procedure. It's the neo-grafting. It's not cutting and pasting on the top of your head. The neo-grafting is so much easier. The process is so much better. It's so much less painful. It is. I was in the chair for 4 hours as opposed to these other procedures that you're in. Fred was in there for 8 hours, okay? And then came to work that day. That was unbelievable. Me, I came by with dinner on Friday, back at work on Monday. No problem. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com and start the process. You'll love it. You'll love the doc. You'll love everything about it. 975hair.com.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. Found the Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
He doesn't have to run for his life now, because that offensive line is going to be, I mean, the whole right side of it, from center to right tackle, totally revamped.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Burrow, if he just had an extra tick in the Super Bowl, they win the game, because he's going to hit Ja'Marr Chase and they're going to win it. So for Joe, he's thinking, damn, I did all that getting my head beat in. Now if I can just sit back here clean, Jamar's a year better. T. Higgins wants to get his respect. Tyler Boyd's one of the best slot players in the NFL. I got three mammoths on the right side of the line. The defense is better. They drafted a bunch of good playmakers in the secondary. So I'm going to get the ball back even more, have more cracks at it. Joe Burrow will be in the MVP conversation. We did a bunch of quarterback ranking exercises, man, at ESPN. You know how everybody's doing all these rankings. Joe Burrow, for me?
Yep.
Joe Burrow's top five quarterback.
That's Louis Riddick on ESPN.
What show was that? Do you know?
It was on Rich Eisen's show. Okay. It was on Rich Eisen's show, not ESPN. But he's of ESPN fame.
I don't think Joe Burrow's getting enough love either. He's like 12-1 MVP.
I wonder if the appendix is going to affect this season at all.
He's 12-1 MVP last I saw. I mean, to me, the over-under on wins, what do you think the win total is for the Bengals?
The win total for the Bengals is going to be 9.5.
It was. Now I'm seeing it at 10. I think that's a fair total. I think the Bengals are set to make another jump. Like, I know they went to a Super Bowl. I think they're set to make they are now going to be in the upper echelon of pro football. I think they've passed the Ravens. So to me, the Bengals are the best team in the AFC North. And when you have a quarterback with that kind of poise and that kind of vibe with one of his wide receivers and Ja'Marr Chase, that stuff goes a long, long way in creating a long-term solution. And, that's what I think you're going to see with the Bengals. I like some of the things they've done defensively. They got pass rush. I think the Bengals, to me, the Super Bowl thing wasn't really a fluke.
I think they're the new. I think they are the new top dog in the AFC. I don't think it's going to be Kansas City anymore. Kansas City's taken on too much water, just too much. You lose Tyreek Hill. I saw some. There's some real things that concern me with Pat Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes, in terms of his ability to play a consistent brand of football, I'm not sure that's who he's going to be. You've now taken away one of his premium weapons. Isaiah Pacheco is the most talked about running back in camp because it looks like they missed on Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And so this late rounder in Isaiah Pacheco was he an undrafted free agent? There's talk about him being a starter. You've got offensive line. You got some questions at the two tackle spots. Your secondary, you got to see if you can get your secondary right. I don't know. I don't know if I'm buying into Kansas City anymore. I think they've got their hands full just in their own division. The Chargers, people love talking about the Chargers. Well, I mean, can y'all win? Can you be a playoff team and a playoff team that wins? I mean, that's the first thing I need to see. I'm not all in on Mac Jones being a guy who can put a team on his back. I still think he's more of a game manager.
The Bills, the Chiefs.
The Bills are set up. But I actually think the Bengals are set up to compete with the Bills. Yeah. I don't think it's that big a
Bills,
difference at all.
The Bills, the Bengals, and the Chiefs are the class of the league, of the AFC.
I'll give you the first two. I'm not just giving you the Chiefs anymore. And you think the Chiefs could fall off,
yeah,
too?
I think they could fall off, too. I think the Raiders are going to come up. But you know what?
Can you buy into Carr, though? I just don't buy into Carr as the guy who can lead your team into an AFC championship.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's ask Phil Simms about it on the other side, right here on ESPN. He's going to join us for a couple of segments, right? We got Phil Simms, NFL quarterback, Super Bowl MVP, and a long time, great professional career in broadcasting. He'll join us next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, it's Underdog Fantasy.
Underdog Fantasy. I talked about this before. I signed up with a couple different, two or three Underdog Fantasy teams. And so, right, I want to say it's 18 rounds, I believe it is. It goes deeper because it's a best ball. It's the best ball format is what I'm talking about. Best Ball Mania 3, it's $25 to enter, $10 million in prizes. 541,000 people have already entered in and gotten their piece of it. I've got two entries in. I'll probably get up to five is what I'm going to do. That's $125. But listen, this is really cool. Your match, if you use promo code Lance10, I'm sorry, if you use promo code Lance, just Lance, they will match up to $100 of your initial deposit. So if you throw $100 in there, you're going to have $200 to spend. Use that for the Best Ball Mania, signups. You can take four of those, that's $100. That gives you four entries. And what you do is you draft your quarterbacks, your running backs, wide receivers, tight ends. That's it. And whoever your highest scores are at each position, that's going to be your score for the week. That's what the best ball format is. There's no waiver wires. There is no starting lineups. Whatever your roster is, it's your roster for the rest of the year. So if you suffer injuries, you're out of luck. But also, if you pick up somebody that other people didn't see coming as a big-time sleeper, or maybe that rookie who's going to go off, or maybe that third-string running back that's going to end up with 13 touchdowns this year, you're going to be the person who really shines. And that's where Underdog allows you to let your skills shine, and you've got real money on the line. They have daily tournaments. They have other sports that are available to you, and they also have the opportunity for you to do overs and unders and rivalry picks. So many different ways for you to win money with UnderdogFantasy.com. Download the app at your local app store, or you can play on your laptop. It's UnderdogFantasy.com, but use promo code Lance.
We'll take a short break. Stay tuned for more John and Lance on ESPN 97.5.